بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار وبالسند المتصل إلى الشيخ الحافظ الحجة أمير المؤمنين في الحديث أبي عبد الله محمد بن إسماعيل بن إبراهيم بن المغيرة البردسبة الجعفي البخاري رحمهم الله ونفعنا بعلومه آمين أنه قال باب الأسواق التي كانت في الجاهلية فتبايع بها الناس في الإسلام. Most respected elders and friends, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today, we hope to discuss three topics. The first, our conduct in the marketplaces. The second, a thought-provoking incident of a great illustrious Sahabi of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala, whose consideration and sensitivity of a hadith in muamalat and dealings. And the third, the principles or the guidelines of helping and assisting in sin. Is it permissible for a person to sell weapons at the time of war? And by extension, is it permissible for a person to sell musical instruments or a radio or a TV? And by greater extension, is it permissible for a person to let out his property for a sinful activity? On the first point, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi, he presents a hadith. وَبِهِ قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا عَلِيُّ بْنَ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا سُفْيَانَ عَنْ عَمْرِ بْنِ دِينَارَ عَنْ عِبْنِ عَبَّاثَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا قَالَ كَانَتْ عُكَاذُ وَمَجِنَّ وَذُو الْمَجَازِ أَسْوَاقًا فِي الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ فَلَمَّا كَانَ الْإِسْلَامُ تأثموا في من التجارة فيها فأنزل الله ليس عليكم جناح في مواسم الحج قرأ ابن عباس كذا. The background of this is Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi presents verse 198 of Surah Al-Baqarah, wherein Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, لَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ جُنَاحٌ أَن تَبْتَغُوا فَضْلًا مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. There is no sin upon you to seek the grace of Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. The background of the revelation of this verse is, in the time of Jahiliyyah, the people used to perform Hajj. And when they used to come to Mina, they used to erect and establish the bazaars, the marketplaces. The marketplaces of the kuffar in the pre-Islamic era, in the time of Jahiliyyah, were infested and saturated with all forms of sins. Singing, dancing, saying poetry and praising the idols. And the second issue was that during an act of ibadat, ibadat according to them because performing Hajj, is it permissible to do trade and business? when the Sahaba accepted Islam and they performed Hajj, and when they went to Mina, they also conducted business. Obviously, their business practices were free from sinful activity. But they had a doubt. They're performing Hajj. And in the court of Hajj, they're also doing business. So is that permissible or not? So it was on that Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala revealed this verse of the Quran Kareem. لَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ جُنَاحٌ أَن تَبْتَغُوا فَضْلًا مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. There's two key words in this verse. There's no sin upon you. Whilst you are performing your Hajj, you are doing trade and business as well. It appears as though that there's no sin upon you, but you're doing an act of ibadat. It is better to separate an act of ibadat from your business. Do ibadat purely for the pleasure of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, and don't do trade and business with that. Although it may be subordinate, the purpose is to do the ibadat of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. But by the way, subordinately, it is still better for you not to contaminate your ibadat by doing trade and business. However, should you do it, there's no sin upon you. The second, فَضْلًا مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. Tijarat and trade, it is a grace of Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. So Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi, he presented the riwayat and he says that Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala says that the various bazaars in the time of Jahiliyyah were Ukaz, Majinna, these are the names of the bazaars, Zul Majaz. These were bazaars in the time of Jahiliyyah where people used to erect their business in these marketplaces. And when Islam came and the Sahaba were also doing business in these places, so they thought it to be a sin to do tijarat and trade in these places. Especially it was during the season of Hajj. You're doing Hajj and at the same time you're doing trade and business. So Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala revealed the verse, لَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ جُنَاحٌ, that there's no sin upon you that you seek the grace of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. And the key word, fi mawasibil hajj, during the season of Hajj, when you're performing your Hajj, you're doing an act of ibadat, and by the way, subordinately, you're also doing tijarat and trade. From this we also understand that if a person, for example, he goes out in the path of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, or he's engaged in any form of da'wah, engaged in any khidmat and service of deen, that is primary objective. But by the way, subordinately, if the person had to engage in trade and business, then that is not prohibited, it is permissible. However, it is better not to contaminate your act of ibadah with trade and with business. Keep your ibadah pure solely for the pleasure of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. While we are discussing this, I thought it would be appropriate to mention certain conduct, adab and etiquette of a person in a marketplace. There are two principles in Sharia. One is, az-zururat tubihul mahzurat. Necessity relaxes prohibition. In other words, there may be many things that are prohibited, but if there's a need for you to engage in certain prohibited activity based on a need, which is justifiable in Sharia, then Shariat will overlook that and there will be a leeway for a person to do that. And second principle, az-zarura tataqaddar biqadri zurura. That if Shariat gives you permission to do something based on your need, based on your necessity, then it must be confined to that need. You must not trespass the need and go beyond that need. Now based on that, if a person has to establish his business in a marketplace, or maybe he doesn't want to establish a business, but he have to go and buy something in a marketplace. And we are aware, the marketplaces, they are also infested with sinful activities. So, although there are sinful activities there, but you have to do your business, or you go to a marketplace to buy, to do trade and business, then Shariat will overlook that. It is a need, and because of the need, the prohibition will be relaxed. However, another principle, overarching principle will be confine it to the need. If you have to go to a marketplace, you go going to buy a certain item, buy your item, you come away. You don't linger around in the marketplaces because that will be beyond your need and you may just engage in some sinful activity. Hazrat Maulana Shamli Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali had presented a very beautiful guideline on this. He has mentioned that when you have a need, then you go to a marketplace. So you condition your mind, there is a need, then you're going to go to a marketplace. So you only go to a marketplace when there is a need. But don't go to a marketplace to look for your needs. If you don't have a need and you're going to marketplaces to look for your needs, then obviously, then everything you would want to have everything, and you'll be spending more time than necessary in the marketplace. Another conduct in our marketplace is, in one hadith narrated by Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, "Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam." إِيَّاكُمْ وَالْجُلُوسَ بِالتُّرُقَاتِ Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, stay away from sitting on the roads. That also applies to marketplaces and the place where business is conducted. فَقَالُوا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ مَا لَنَا مِن مَجَالِسِنَا بُدٌّ نَتَحَدَّثُ فِيهَا Ya Rasulallah, we have to sit in these places. We have no other place to sit to discuss. We gather in these places and we have our normal discussions. قال فَإِذَا أَبَيْتُمْ إِلَّا الْمَجْلِسِ Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told that if you refuse but to sit there, you have to sit in these public roads or in these business places, then فَأَعْتُ الطَّرِيقَ حَقَّهُ Give the road its haq. And the same, even if a person has to go in a marketplace, in the malls, etc., whatever is the haqq of the business place, fulfill that. Qalu, Sahaba said, وَمَا حَقُّ الطَّرِيقِ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ Ya Rasulallah, what is the right of the road? And in the context of our discussion, what is the right of the marketplaces? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, غَزُّ الْبَصَرِ كَفُّ الْأَذَى رَدُّ السَّلَامِ وَالْأَمْرُ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَالنَّهْيِ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ Four things Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, the adab, the etiquette, and the right of the road and the right of the marketplaces. First, ghazul basar. Lower your gaze. It shouldn't be that when you are in the marketplaces, you find that a person's gaze is falling on the opposite gender and is enjoying himself with the form and shape of the opposite gender. And over a period of time, then a person becomes addicted to that. It becomes a disease and sickness. Now we'll go to a marketplace just to fulfill that passion and his desire. That contaminates iman, and that is spiritual death to an individual. Second, kaful adha. Stay away from causing inconvenience to people. Wherever where you park your motor vehicle, how you conduct yourself with the business people, when you're buying, when you're selling, keep this in mind, never to cause any inconvenience to anyone. Third, raddu salam. Somebody making salam to you, whether it's on the road or whether it's in the marketplaces, then you reply to a person salam. And third, wal amru bil ma'roof wal nahyu al munkar. Do good. You see anybody, tell them to do good. Anybody that is doing wrong, then you condemn that wrong. Yes, of course, with lots of hikmat, wisdom and diplomacy. A third adab, an etiquette of the marketplaces, and this is something that a hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam which every one of us should memorize. The hadith is, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, من قال حين يدخل السوق, لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له, له الملك وله الحمد, يحيي ويميت وهو حي لا يموت, بيده الخير كله, وهو على كل شيء قدير. This is a dua. Once again, I will repeat it. لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد. These words are similar to the fourth kalima. Then the addition is يُحْيِي وَيُمِيتُ. Almighty Allah تبارك وتعالى is the one to give life. Allah is the one to give death. وَهُوَ حَيٌّ لَا يَمُوتُ. And an emphasis to that is, Allah is all alive, Allah never dies. بِيَدِهِ الْخَيْرُ كُلُّ In the hand of Allah is all good, وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ It takes probably half a minute to read this dua. But look at the barakat and look at the reward of this. Nabi Kareem SAW mentioned, كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَهُ أَلْفَ أَلْفِ حَسَنَةٍ وَمَحَا عَنْهُ أَلْفَ أَلْفِ سَيِّئَةٍ وَبَنَا لَهُ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ That just by reading this, Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala will write in your records reward of 1 million good deeds. 1 million of your sins are forgiven. And just by saying this dua, that Allah will prepare for your abode in Jannah. What a great reward this is. Just a simple dua. And one of the reasons why the reward is so great is because by human nature we are attracted to material things. When you're in a marketplace, in a bazaar, you're looking at that item, it attracts you. Look at that item, it attracts you. And in spite of that, your heart and mind is focused on Allah and the zikr of Allah in a place of ghaflat, in a place of heedlessness. That is what Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala likes. And a fourth etiquette of the marketplaces is one very inspiring incident of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with a fellow Sahabi. أَنَّ رَجُلًا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْبَادِيَةِ كَانَ إِسْمُهُ زَاهِرْ ابْنِ حَرَامِ There was one sahabi, Zahir ibn Haram radiallahu ta'ala anhu, وَكَانَ يُهُدِي النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مِنَ الْبَادِيَةِ فَيُجَهِّزُهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِذَا أَرَادَ أَنْ يَخْرُجَ He used to live in a villages, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a town. So from the village he used to come and visit Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and items that are normally found in a village, generally you would say vegetables or crops or whatever grow that is normally not found in a town, he would bring that and present it to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when he would return from Madinah back to the village, things that are not found in the village, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to give him that. And in one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even mentioned that Zahir, he is our village. He brings things from the village. And we are the town for Zahir. That we give him things that are found in a town for his village. So it so happened one day, that كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يحبه وكان دميما. Outwardly, his facial, like he wasn't a good-looking person, but Nabi says you should like him. So one day, Zahir ibn Hanam radiallahu ta'ala was engaged in business. He was engrossed in business. He was a businessman engrossed in business. وهو يبيع متاعة. He was selling, completely engrossed. فاحتذنه من خلفه وهو لا يبصره. Nabi Kareem sir came from behind, like how normally children, they come from behind, they hold their friend from behind. In such, so tight that the person can't even see right or can't see left. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi, and this Nabi sallallahu did with a sahabi with whom there was that easy, flexible relationship. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi came and did that with Zahir ibn Haram, held him from behind in such a way that Zahir could not see right, could not see left. So Zahir thought somebody else, he didn't know it was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he told, Arsilni man hadha. Please me, who's this? Faltafata. When he looked with the corner of his eyes, fa'arafa an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. He realized that this is none other than the Rasul of Allah that is holding me like this. Now, instead of like wanting to set himself loose from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, faja'ala la yadu ma alzaqa zahrahu bi sadri Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hina arafa. Now, he realized this is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He started taking his body, his back, and rubbing it more to the Mubarak chest of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started saying, playing with him, joking with him, may yashtari al-abd. Nabi, because he held him, the Nabi said, who'll buy this slave? Referring to Zahir ibn Haram. Now look at the humbleness and humility of this sahabi. He said, ya Rasulullah, idhan wallah tajiduni kasidan. Ya Rasulullah, if I have to be sold, then I'll be a person without any value. The person who have to buy me, then he will be at a loss. That's when Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, وَلَكِنْ عِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيْسَ بِكَاسِرٍ But in the sight of Allah, you are not a person without value. You have great value in the sight of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. So these are some of the adabs and some of the etiquettes in the marketplaces. We move on to a second discussion. Babu Shirait Ibilil Him Awil Ajrab Al Haim Al Mukhaliful Il Qasti Fi Kulli Shay. This is purchasing an animal that had a sickness of drinking lots of water, a camel that had a sickness of drinking a lot of water, and the thirst of that camel would not be quenched. Or buying a camel that had a skin disease. Imam Bukhari presented an incident. وبه قال حدثنا علي بن عبد الله قال حدثنا سفيان قال حدثنا عمرو كان ها هنا رجل اسمه نواس. Amr ibn Dinar says, here in our marketplaces there was a person, his name was Nawas. وكانت عنده إبل هيم. And that person was selling a camel that had the sickness of drinking a lot of water. فذهب ابن عمر. Abdullah ibn Umar رضي الله تعالى عنه wanted to go buy a camel. فاشترى تلك الإبل من شريك له. He went and purchased the camel from the partner of Nawas. فَجَاءَ إِلَيْهِ شَرِيكُهُ. And the partner of Nawas came and told to Nawas, بِعْنَا تِلْكَ الْإِبِلِ. That camel that we were sitting with for so long, like when we say dead stock, can't be sold. We finally managed to sell it. فَقَالْ مِمَّنْ بِعْتَهَا. To who you sold it? So, the partner told to Nawas, min shaykhi kada wa kada, so and so learned person, and he described. So Nawas told, wayhak, dhaak wallah ibn Umar. Regret, the person that you sold it to was Abdullah ibn Umar. Great illustrious sahabi of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, faja'ahu, the partner, Nawas came to Abdullah ibn Umar and told, inna shariki ba'aka ibilan hima. My partner sold you a camel that has a defect. Drinks a lot of water and it never quenches itself. What am I, Arif? But he didn't know it was you. So Abdullah ibn Umar said, okay, fastaqha. Take it, take the camel and go away. Falamma dhahaba yastaquha. And when that person who sold the camel, he was driving and taking that camel away, then Abdullah ibn Umar then said, da'na, leave that camel, it's okay. No problem. رَدِينَا بِقَضَاءِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ لَا عَدْوَى. We are happy with the decree of Rasulullah, of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, لَا عَدْوَى. لَا عَدْوَى, it refers to two possible meanings, no contagious diseases. And in the context of sicknesses, if it is that if a person has a sickness, we believe everything is from the side of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and there's no such thing as direct contagious diseases. There are causes for that. So, and just that a person should submit to the will of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala there, likewise this camel has been sold to me, I submit to the will of Allah. It's a decree of Allah for me to have this camel, so I'm accepting it. Another possible interpretation, la adwa, that there is no operation in this. This is a sickness and there's no operation in this, I accept it. Sami'a Sufyan Amr. From this we learn a great lesson. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala is buying something. And he is he is the loser. He bought a camel. He didn't know the camel had a defect, but he considered the feeling of the seller. The seller sold it. And it came to me. It's my taqdeer that I've got this item. Let me submit to the will of Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. In buying and selling, sometimes we must consider the feeling of the seller. Or consider your counterpart. Don't only be in an advantageous situation. Sometimes consider the advantage of the next person. Otherwise, sometimes our situation, how we deal with people, is like the person that was traveling with Einstein. Einstein, the scientist, he and one person, maybe just by way of example, somebody from around Durban, sitting next to Einstein in the aeroplane, and a long flight to America. So Einstein thought to himself, that such a long flight, what are we going to do in this flight? So he told to his partner, let us enter into some discussion. Let us have a question and answer session among us. If you ask me a question and I'm unable to answer, I'll give you $500. And if you ask me if I ask you a question and you are unable to answer, then you must just give me $5. This person from Durban said, what a big bargain. That if I have to ask him a question, he can't answer, I earn $500. And if he has to ask me a question, if I can't answer, Then I only have to give 500. So Einstein told him, okay, you start off. So he asked the question, what is that that goes up in the sky with four legs and come down with three legs? Einstein started thinking with all the scientific knowledge in the world that he has. He thought and he thought and he thought. He came to a point, he said, I give up. He took out $500 and he gave it to this person from Durban. Big bargain for him. Then Einstein told him, now it is your turn to ask the question. You ask the question, now it is my turn to ask you the question. He said, all right, go ahead. So Einstein asked him, tell me, what is that that goes up in the sky with three legs and come back with four legs? The person took out $5 and gave it to us. Sometimes that's how we deal, right? We look at only at our benefit and we don't even consider the next person's benefit. Allah give us tawfiq and hidayah to consider the adab and etiquette when we're dealing with people. The next discussion, very, very quickly, I will just touch onto it. Babu bay'i salah fil fitna wa ghayriha. Is it permissible to sell weapons at a time of fitna or at a time of war? Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi present an incident here. Anabi Qatada qala kharajna ma'a rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wasallam 'ama Hunain fa'atahu yani ad-dir'a fabi'tu ad-dir'a fabta'tu bihi makhrafan fi bani Salima fa'innahu awwal mal ta'assaltuhu fi al-Islam. Abu Qatada says, we came out with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the year of Hunain. That battle of Hunain took place in the 8th year after Hijrat, after the conquest of Makkatul Mukarramah. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave Abu Qatada an armor. From the booty, from the Mali Ghanibat, gave him an armor. فَبِعْتُ الدِّرْعَ. And I sold that armor, and through that armor, I purchased an orchard in the tribe of Banu Salima. And that was the first wealth that I've acquired in Islam. From this, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi proves the point, and he tries to deduce the point of selling weapons at the time of fitna, at the time of war. Now, what is the principle? Let's say that you got a supermarket, you are selling bread and milk. Somebody came and bought bread and milk, he had that bread and milk, he got some energy, and then he came across with somebody on the street and hit that person. Now, would you say that he got that energy in him because you sold that bread and milk to him and therefore he hit that person, so you are sinful for him hitting that person? Where do you draw the line? And Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Kareem, in the second verse of Surah Al-Ma'idah, وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ. Do not help, do not assist in sinful activity. So where do you draw the line and what is the principles for that? I'll just present five guidelines for that, and that should serve as sufficient basis for that. First and foremost, if a person happened to sell an item that has a singular sinful purpose, if a person happened to sell an item that had a singular sinful purpose, for example, selling an intoxicant, or selling hardcore drugs, or selling a musical instrument that is used only for music and no other purpose, then that is clearly prohibited. The second principle, if a person sells an item that has dual or multiple purposes, and it is in the core of the transaction, both of them have agreed that it will be used for a sinful activity, or the intention of the seller or the purchaser is to use it in a sinful activity, then too, it will be prohibited. For example, if somebody has to sell grape juice to someone, or grapes, and the intention of selling the grapes is you're selling it to the winery for them to make alcohol, or the intention of the purchaser or the seller is to press extract the juice and make an intoxicant out of that. Although it has multiple purposes, the fact that there is clear intention of committing a sin with that, it will still be prohibited. The third, If a person happened to sell an item with dual or multiple purposes, and there's no mention of sin, and neither do you know what the person will be using it for, then it is permissible to sell that. For example, grape juice. Or, for example, in our shops they sell the king corn malt. Malt is used as a malt, used as a porridge. And it could also be used as an intoxicant. Many people, they keep it overnight and they use it as an intoxicant. It's something that has dual of multiple purposes, and you don't know when somebody comes to your shop what he's buying it for. There's no mention of a sin, and you don't know what the intention of the purchaser. Then to sell that will be permissible. If a person happened to use it in a sinful activity, then he's a fa'ila mukhtar. That is, he's an adult. He's responsible for the wrong that he has committed. And the fourth is, if a person happened to sell an item that has dual or multiple purposes, you could use it in a right way, you could use it the wrong way. But you know, in all probability, it would definitely be used in a sinful activity. For example, a war, in the center of the war, to sell weapons, sell guns, or all the different type of weaponry that is sold in the course of the war. Now, weapons can be used to defend yourself. It could also be cause for you, for oppression, for a sinful activity. And you know in all probability that it would be used in a sinful activity. Then it is prohibited to sell it. This, in from fiqhi term, it is called a sabab, which is a muharrik. And the fifth is, even if you have to sell an item that has jewel of multiple purposes, and it is not a direct cause of the sin. It is a distant cause of the sin, and fiqhi term you call it sabab ba'id, then it is permissible to sell that. For example, to sell steel to someone. Now, with steel, you could also make weapons. You could also do, things that are also permissible. So, if you have to sell steel, even at the time of war, that will not be your responsibility. Now, going back to questions that we have asked. Is it permissible to sell weapons at the time of war? It is not permissible. You know for the fact that it will be used in a sinful activity. Is it permissible to sell a radio? Radio could be used for dual or multiple purposes. Somebody could use it for news. Somebody could use it for music. And you're not responsible for that. So therefore, it is permissible to sell. Is it permissible to sell a TV screen? TV screen could be used for a TV, that is haram, that is prohibited, but it could also be used for security purposes as a CCTV installation process. And is it permissible to sell, or is it permissible to hire your property for a sinful activity? Now, again, there's differences of opinion among our jurists in that. They made a difference between a Muslim country and a non-Muslim country, and our akabirin, especially our Shaykh Hadhrat Mufti Mahmud Hassan Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayh. Similar questions have been asked in Fatawa Mahmudiya, volume 25, on similar issues, hiring your property for a sinful activity. He presented both views of the ulama, and according to one view, it is advisable not to do so, and if you have to give it, then it's a leeway. And if a person is faced with such a situation, we don't give a general fatwa for this. In this situation, you consult with a competent alim, competent mufti, present your situation for him, in front of him, let him analyze your situation, and based on your personal circumstances, then only you would get a fatwa. Don't deduce your own rulings and your own fatwas on this. So these are the broad principles of ta'awun al-ism that Allah Ta'ala says, do not help, do not assist anyone in sin. We make dua, Almighty Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq and hidayah to understand all these various laws of the sharia and to implement it in our business and our trade. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.